In a time like none of us have experienced before, there's strength to be found in community institutions like Iowa Public Radio. I'm Executive Director Myrna Johnson, and I'm so proud of the thoughtful, informed coverage IPR brings you on the issues that matter. Listener funding is the power source that makes it all possible. Facts, understanding, insight, that's what you fund when you give to this station. Make your gift now at iowapublicradio.org, and thank you.
The way you get your news may have changed during this pandemic, but you still need to know what's going on in our state every day. Iowa Public Radio News has you covered. Subscribe to our new podcast, Hear First, and start your day equipped with the essential local news you need to know, delivered in under 15 minutes, weekdays by 7 a.m. Get analysis from IPR's team of reporters, learn about what's going on at the Statehouse and on the ground in your community. Subscribe to Hear First today wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer with my co-host today, IPR's Katarina Sestarek, our IPR's state government reporter, focusing on debate, a couple of items of debate at the Iowa State House. Last half hour, if you were with us, we were talking about police protection proposals. This half hour, to a different proposal to change Iowa's gun laws, namely whether Iowans should be required to have a permit to carry or acquire handguns. That is the case at present. In just a moment, lawmakers for and against. I want to encourage listeners to call in with your questions, gun owners, or otherwise, your questions, your concerns. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Katarina, before we introduce our lawmakers, tell us a little bit more about this proposal and its background.
Iowans would no longer have to get a permit to acquire handguns or carry a concealed weapon under this bill that's been advanced by House and Senate Republicans. They would still have to go through a national background check system if they don't have a permit. But this bill would also remove the permit requirement for private sales of firearms, but would also increase the penalty for selling a gun to someone who isn't legally allowed to have one. And then I think it's important to note, too, with this issue that researchers at Johns Hopkins University found that requiring a permit to purchase handguns is more effective at reducing gun violence than running background checks on their own, and that the national background check system has some gaps and delays. So those are some of the issues that have been discussed with this legislation.
Joining us with opposing views on this particular piece of legislation, Representative Stephen Holt is a Republican from Denison. Representative Holt, welcome to you.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Sorry we can't be together sitting in the law library like we did pre-COVID, but nonetheless, it's great to be here with you.
Well, that would be nice, and someday we think it will come again, and it surely will, Representative Holt. Thank you for that comment.
Yes.
Representative Beth Wessel-Kroeschel is with us, a Democrat from Ames. Welcome to our program to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
Representative Holt, let's start with you. Why do we need to get rid of this requirement for permits for having a handgun, acquiring a handgun, carrying it, concealed carry of it?
Well, thank you. First of all, we're not plowing new ground. 18 other states have various forms of constitutional carry. Look, the right to keep and bear arms is a fundamental right. It is not a privilege. And Iowa citizens currently have to go get a permission slip from their sheriff's department to practice this fundamental right. They have to get either a permit to acquire or a permit to carry. And we do not believe that it should be that way for a fundamental right. I mean, why should a mom being threatened by a domestic abuser or a senior frightened by rising crime in their neighborhood, things of that kind, why should these individuals have to wait and go get a permission slip from the government before they can practice this fundamental right of self-defense? So we believe that the system we propose will actually be just as safe, if not safer, and will increase the number of background checks. But at the same time, it will respect that fundamental right of Iowa citizens to keep and bear arms.
Representative Wessel-Kroeschel, what's your response?
Sure. Background checks are the foundation, and the permits is where we do actually get assured of a background check in this state. They are the foundation of any effective effort to reduce gun violence and keep guns out of the wrong hands. These laws are proven to reduce gun violence, and states that require background checks for all handgun gun sales are associated with lower firearm homicides. They have lower firearm suicide rates and lower rates of firearm trafficking. They are very popular. I believe we're in the 80% of Iowans who support background checks, including 70% of Republican women. It would just be, in my opinion, just a tragedy to roll back these kind of bedrock public safety laws that keep us safe.
Representative Holt, one comment that's been made about this legislation is that it could make things more difficult for law enforcement officials just when, you know, they're not sure if someone is allowed to have a gun or not when they encounter someone maybe in their car. Can you comment on that issue and if you think that that would lead to some issues for law enforcement?
Sure, and I would love to see the studies that Representative Russell Cashel referenced, because I think you can do a lot with numbers. I personally don't think it's accurate, and again, I would reaffirm that I believe that our legislation will increase background checks. She mentioned background checks over and over as if they were being eliminated. They will actually be strengthened under this legislation. So in regard to the Department of Public Safety and their concerns, sheriffs and deputies, law enforcement, I've had 4 hours of meetings with the Department of Public Safety. I've met with the Iowa Sheriffs and Deputies Association. We are adding some changes to the bill in response to their concerns. We're going to add that the right to carry is invalidated for persons if they're under the influence of alcohol, that it's invalidated for persons under the influence of drugs, that it's invalidated for persons in possession of illegal drugs, that it's invalidated for those persons in the commission of an indictable offense. And we're also adding to state law the federal prohibitions against possessing a firearm. These were the major requests of our law enforcement officers, and we're adding it to the legislation.
Representative Wessel Korshall, before we go to callers, we have a good number of them. Do you have a response to those assurances that Representative Holt gave?
Well, I have not seen that amendment yet. One law enforcement official who has publicly talked about this bill was Polk County Sheriff Kevin Snyder. And I think he said it really well. He said if this law passes, people will now have access to guns with the same convenience as buying a bottle of water. No questions asked. It's very easy to get around any background checks under this law. All you would need to do would go to an unlicensed dealer, which would be any Iowan who wants to sell his or her firearm, would be an unlicensed dealer. If they're selling to somebody they know, they may have some idea of whether that person is a domestic violence, somebody who's been involved in domestic violence, or had a felony, or has a serious mental health disorder. But they can sell to a perfect stranger and have no idea and get around the requirements in the current bill very easily by saying they had no idea what the problems were with that gun sale. So, yes, there are still federal background checks that happen when it's through a federally licensed dealer, but so many other guns are purchased from unlicensed dealers every weekend at gun shows and through private individuals that this essentially eliminates background checks for anybody who might be found to have one of those three issues.
Mm-hmm. Before we go to the phones, Representative Holt, respond to that, Representative Wessel Korshall sees as a loophole there. Are you concerned about that?
No, a lot of what I would regard as inaccurate information there. First of all, at gun shows, background checks are required. Federal background checks are required at gun shows. As far as the private owner situation is concerned, right now you can do a private sale, and the law says that you should ask to see the person's permit to acquire or permit to carry, and it's an aggravated misdemeanor if you don't do that. Under this legislation, what we are saying is you had better know who you are selling that firearm to, because if you don't, and you sell it to someone who you reasonably should have known should not possess that firearm, you have committed a Class D felony. We believe that's going to encourage lots of our citizens to go to federally licensed firearm dealers and sell the weapon through them so that those background checks can be done. I've never bought a bottle of water that required a background check, and I've never bought a bottle of water where I was threatened with a Class D felony. If I turned around and sold it to the wrong person. So I think there's a lot of inaccurate information there.
Okay, having a discussion on this half hour about eliminating the requirement to have permits to acquire or carry a concealed handgun in Iowa. Representative Stephen Holt with us, also Representative Beth Wessel-Crochelle. Let's go to our phones. We have about 10 minutes left of our program, a little over 10 minutes. I'll ask our listeners who are calling in to be brief so we can get a number of inputs here. Bill is first from Ankeny. Bill, what is your perspective on the discussion here?
Well, the first thing I want to say is the proponents of a bill like this always talk about gun ownership as an absolute right. It is not. If you look at the context of the Second Amendment and the U.S. Constitution and English common law, the militia system was very complex. There's no time to go into it now, but it's very qualifying there. The second thing is, I'm a gun owner. I have multiple firearms, handguns and long guns. I have a concealed carry permit. It took a three-hour class on a Sunday afternoon to get that permit. It was absurdly easy. Myself or no one else in that class was required to live fire a gun. They were plastic dummy guns, and it was ridiculously easy. And in Iowa, I offer the contrast that if people want a driver's license in Iowa, they don't just take a written test. They have to get behind the wheel of a vehicle and demonstrate that they can operate it safely and responsibly. So why do we have, for something like that, a requirement for showing competent, safe use, but yet we're willing to give firearms to people who don't do the same thing? They ought to be changing the direction of these restrictions and making people get training at a gun range and demonstrate that they can operate a firearm, not just one kind of firearm, but multiple types of firearms safely. Okay. And then they should be getting a permit, and they do need concealed carry permits, I think, to carry legally.
Okay, Bill, thank you. Describes himself as a gun owner from Ankeny who is against this change. Representative Holt, so let's direct that to you. What do you make of Bill's arguments there? There's a gun owner who says this is not a good idea.
Yeah, well, I respectfully disagree with his conclusions, and the Supreme Court would disagree with it, too. The right to keep and bear arms is a natural extension of a universally recognized right of self-defense, and the Supreme Court of the United States has recognized this is a fundamental and individual right in the Constitution, and that the Second Amendment guarantees, and I'm quoting D.C. versus Heller in 2008, the individual right to possess and carry weapons in case of confrontation. It is a fundamental right. It preexisted the Constitution, our right to self-defense. And that's where this comes from, our right to defend ourselves, our right to defend our loved ones. This is where the Second Amendment stems from. It is a natural right. It preexisted the Constitution. And again, getting a driver's license, you won't find anything about a driver's license in the Constitution of the United States. This is a fundamental right extended from the right to defend ourselves and our families.
Mm-hmm. Representative Wessel-Crochelle, unless you had a response there, we can go to a next caller. Do you have anything specifically to that exchange?
Sure. I think it's very important to recognize there are no constitutional amendments or constitutional rights that are absolute rights. Our free speech rights are also abridged by many court cases and laws. And we address that in the legislature on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, there are two bills coming up on today's agenda that will address some free speech rights. I think that Bill from Ankeny had some very good suggestions in terms of training. I have also taken that training, although I think mine was all online, where I could have gotten a permit if I had wanted to. Way too easy. We should be tightening up those laws, providing more training. I give the example of one of my constituents, Gabe, who lives in or works in a pawn shop, said an 80-something-year-old woman came in to buy a gun because she was feeling uncomfortable in her neighborhood. Her hands were shaking, and she had a really hard time gripping the gun. In the end, because it would not be safe for her to purchase it, the seller did talk her out of it, but he doesn't know if she went someplace else. There are lots of places where we need to rely on our law enforcement to provide us with safety. And I have to say, from the many years I've lived in Iowa, I think our law enforcement has done a tremendous job. So I think that bill just makes a lot of really good sense.
Okay, let's go back to our callers. We have just over 5 minutes. Joining us from Dubuque, Art is calling in. Thanks for listening, Art, and thanks for calling in. What do you want to chip into this conversation?
Yes, thank you. Well, I just want to say this, that, you know, Iowa has a permit requirement right now, and it's a sensible requirement that contributes to our relatively low ranking among the states for gun homicides and gun assaults. We're 41st among the 50 states. So there's, you know, 40 states that are worse than us in that. And we're 37th for gun suicides and gun suicide attempts. So again, there's many, many states that have a lot worse record than we do in that regard. And I believe that that's because we have, among other things, this permit requirement, which this legislation would take away and probably plunge us into a much more undesirable ranking in both of these categories. So why risk that? That's really all I want to say. Why take that chance? Why take that away? Why break something that doesn't need to be broken?
Okay. Art in Dubuque, thank you very much. What about this idea that to look at the right to bear arms as guaranteed in our Second Amendment to the Constitution with public safety, with a reduction of gun violence? Representative Holt, how do you think about those concerns when considering and being a proponent of this change?
Well, to both of those points, the caller is incorrect in believing that the permit to acquire and the permit to carry are the reasons we have lower gun violence. There's a lot to do with the heart. There's a lot to do with value systems by our good citizens in Iowa. Look, criminals do not obey the law. Criminals are not going to care what we put in code in terms of what is required for them to buy a firearm. Let's be realistic here. The laws that we are passing apply to law-abiding citizens. Those who choose to be criminals, those who choose to break the law, they don't care what we say about permits. They could care less. They're going to go and they're going to obtain that weapon illegally. So we have to be very careful when we're talking about the systems we put in place and how we're infringing upon the rights of law-abiding citizens. Representative Russell Crichel is absolutely right. No right is absolute, and that is why we have prohibitions, for instance, against felons owning firearms or against those who have been adjudicated mentally ill or those who are alcoholics or in the possession of drugs, what have you. All of those things remain in Iowa law, and the things that are important that I believe that keep us safe actually will be increased in this legislation because there will, in my opinion, be more background checks. Look, if you choose not to get a permit to carry or a permit to acquire, that means you have to get a background check every single time you purchase a firearm, as opposed to a five-year period, which is what the window is for a permit to acquire or a permit to carry. You don't have to get it renewed for 5 years. So I actually believe that what matters most are those background checks, and those will be strengthened and increased in this legislation.
Representative Holt, when you earlier mentioned that this could make it easier for someone who, you know, is afraid of an immediate threat of domestic violence or something like that to get a weapon for their protection, wouldn't that also make it easier for someone who's intending to do something wrong with a firearm to get a weapon more quickly?
Well, that's a good question. And to your point, if we legislate to the lowest common denominator, we will never have any freedoms at all. All of our freedoms will be gone. A weapon is a tool. It can be used for good or it can be used for evil. To suggest that we're going to deny a law-abiding citizen, whether she be 80 years old and her hand is shaking or not, the right to their Second Amendment rights simply because someone else might misuse it, if you apply that standard across the board, we will have no freedoms left. So I would reject that absolutely.
This is an email from one of our listeners directed to you, Representative Holt, once again. Amy writes, Representative Holt has been quoted as saying that Iowans shouldn't have to get a, quote, permission slip to exercise our right to access firearms. Using that logic, Amy writes, why should we have to get a permission slip in the form of voter registration or anything else to vote?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I think that's a false equivalency. I think comparing voter ID to constitutional carry is a false equivalency. Voter ID is an attempt to prevent fraud in our election system by those who are ineligible to vote or who would vote multiple times or under a false identity, a person peacefully exercising their natural and fundamental rights to go armed, you know, in self-defense doesn't steal from anyone, it doesn't harm anyone, and it doesn't threaten anyone. I think it is somewhat of an illegitimate requirement to ask our citizens to go and get a permission slip from the government when, again, they can do that federal background check, which is what matters most. So I think we're talking about apples and oranges when we talk about voter ID versus constitutional carry.
Okay, we have just a minute or two left. Let's have you get in a word. You haven't spoken for several minutes. Representative Beth Wessel Crochelle, in addition to what you said, what do you want to leave listeners with from your perspective?
Sure. These laws are proven to reduce gun violence. That's just the bottom line. States that require background checks for all handgun sales are associated with lower firearm homicide rates, lower firearm suicide rates, and lower rates of firearm trafficking. It is not hard to get a permit if you qualify for one, meaning you are not a felon and you are not a domestic abuser and you do not have a serious mental health disorder. It's not hard to qualify for one. It is actually quite easy. If I can do it on a Sunday afternoon on my computer, I think it's not asking too much for Iowans to, for the safety of all Iowans, to continue with our very popular permit to carry laws. And they're popular, and I just cannot support taking those away and putting us in danger of so many people who should not be carrying guns having them.
Representative Holt, very quickly before we go, will this bill pass into law, your prediction?
Oh, I don't predict around here. I believe it has an excellent chance of passing because I think it will make Iowans safer and it will respect their fundamental rights. It will increase the number of background checks, and we should legislate based upon what is good policy, not as what is popular. And I believe it has an excellent chance of passing because it's good policy.
Thank you very much, Representative Stephen Holt, Republican from Denison, Representative Beth Wessel Crochelle, a Democrat from Ames. We appreciate our two lawmakers taking part in this conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. And on behalf of Katarina Sestarek, my co-host in this case, we come to an end of another program. Tomorrow on the program, it's a bold vision for liberating us workers from the tyranny of constant communication. Tomorrow on the program, I'll talk with Cal Newport. His new book, A World Without Email. Imagine that, no email. Reimagining work in a world of communication overload. Tomorrow on the program. River to River, produced today by Rick Brewer. I'm Ben Kiefer. On behalf of Katarina Sestarek, thanks for joining us.